We're holding on one of the days on the days by the last Mishnah, so six lines from bottom. Mishnah says, Shirko Shodosh Hashanah, in Ma'avirin Olavas HaTchum, you're not allowed to go outside the Tchum to hear the Shirko, and for that matter, it also means that you wouldn't be able to bring the Shirko from outside the Tchum, because that's, in other words, the point of the Mishnah is going to be that you're not allowed to be over on any Issu Zerabbono no Doraisa in order to listen to the shofar or in order to have a shofar. So for Ein Mepach in Olavas HaGal, you're not allowed to dig up a collapsed building. If you have, let's say you had a shofar in a building and the building collapsed, now you want to dig up the rubble in order to find the shofar, you can't do that. On Yom Tov we're talking about, of course. Loi Olin Ve'ilin, you're not allowed to climb a tree to get it, because as we learned in Beitza, the Chachamim said not to climb trees because you may come to tear off branches from the tree, or ride on an animal, same thing, because you might tear off a branch from a tree in order to direct the animal where to go, or swim in order to get the shofar. Again, all of these things are either to get the shofar or to get yourself to a place, some of them are to get yourself to a place where you might be able to hear a shofar. Swimming, let's say, you might have. There's somebody on the other side of the river who has a shofar, and you want to go there in order to hear it. You can't do that. The Ein Choschin Osa, you also can't cut the shofar. So let's say you have a shofar, but it wasn't prepared before Yom Tov. Now on Yom Tov, you're finding you need to cut it. You need to, whether it's to drill out the hole, whether it's to cut off the end, whatever it is, you can't do that. Bein B'dava Shul Mishum Shavus, or Bein B'dava Shul Mishum Loisese. Whether you're going to use something which is only also Dirabbanan, or the Shavus, or whether something that would actually be also Daraisa, where there's an actual Loisese involved. And the Gemara will give examples of both of those. By the way, with all of this that we're saying that you're not allowed to do malachas daraisa or dirabbanan, or to go outside the tchum for the shofar, the poskim do argue, would you be allowed to? Now, so we're saying you're not allowed to do anything that's a shvus, but would you be allowed to do a shvus dishvus? Namely, in other words, there's also a shvus not to tell a goy to do something for you on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Amir l'nochri shvus. So, would you be allowed to then to tell a goy to do one of these things for you on Yom Tov? For example, to go outside the tchum to get it, or to climb up the tree to get it. And the answer in Shulchan Aruch is yes. That you would be able to do because the rule is you're allowed to do Amir l'Nochri where there's a Tzorach Mitzvah involved, and here there's a Tzorach Mitzvah, and it's only a Shavus to Shavus, because what you're telling them to do is itself only a Dirabbanan. But to tell them to tell them to do a Malacha Daraisa, that you wouldn't be able to do. And then you also have, it talks about in Shulchan Aruch, what if the Goy does it all on his own? What if on his own he brings you a shofar from outside the tchum? What if on his own he makes a shofar for you on Yom Tov? So then you also have that you can use it, but l'chatchila you should use a different one if available. If it's the only one available, then you can use it. So there's a whole discussion about that as well. Okay, anyway, continues the Mishnah. But if you want on Yom Tov to pour water or wine into the shofar in order to the sound is not coming out clearly, so you're going to wash it out in order for the sound to come out better, nitin, then you're allowed to do that on Yom Tov. That's not considered that you're being sat in the keli. Continues the Mishnah. We don't prevent children from blowing the shofar, and we're going to see in the Gemara when is this talking about. But we can occupy ourselves with them. We can work together with them until they learn. In other words, we can help them blow shofar as a matter of chinuch, even though of course it's ketanim, they're not chayav. Now the actual one who's practicing with them is not yotze, because he's not blowing l'shem mitzvah. And if a person hears from somebody who's blowing for Miss Asik in order to practice with the kids or whatever, then he's also not yotze, because again, you need to have kavana. So we talked about the other day, we had the whole sugya about mitzvah tzrichas kavana or not. We said, according to Rava, that we said mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, then with the misasik over here, we're talking about where he didn't even mean to blow shofar. He was playing around with the shofar and accidentally he made the notes, or we had something over there, manbach nebuchi, where he made barking sounds, where Rashi explains that he made them too short, and Tosfos says actually what it means is he meant to make them too short to be kosher of tias and truas, which we're going to talk about on Lama Gimel Lama Beis, what the shiur for that is. And accidentally he made them long. Either way, the point is, according to that, that's what we misasik. According to Rava over there, we didn't require him to have kavana, because he said mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana. According to the Zera that we said over there, that mitzvahs do need kavana, then it would mean misasik over here actually means he made the full sound the way they're supposed to be, but he didn't have in mind that it was for the sake of the mitzvah. Okay, so the Gemara asks my time, why are we saying you're not allowed to do any malachas d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, or go outside the tchum or whatever, in order to get a shofar? The reason is shofar esahu, because the mitzvah of hearing shofar is only a mitzvah saseh, the yomtiv esav aloy saseh, yomtiv you have an esah, because you have for each of the yom tovim, you have an esah, the Rambam lists them at the beginning of Hilchos Yomtiv, you have lishvos on such and such a day. Because each one of them, the Torah calls Shabbosin, and that constitutes a mitzvah saseh to rest on those days. And the lois saseh, and each of them is a lois saseh, kol melechas avoda lois sasu. Ve'in esah doiches, lois saseh ve'esah. And as we know, an esah cannot override a lois saseh and an esah. So if it had been only a lois saseh, then you would, because we would say esah doiches lois saseh. Although even that, you have some discussion. I mean, the fact is, when you, the Gemara mentions in a few other places, in order for that to work, it would have to be that at the same time that you're doing that, you're being over on the lois esseh, you're accomplishing the esseh. Here you wouldn't have that because we'd be talking about you going in order to get the shofar or whatever. But anyway, the point is that here in any case, you have a lois esseh and an esseh of yomtiv, so therefore for sure the esseh of shofar cannot override it. We said over the ilan v'loyich ben agava behemim before. We said, among other things, you're not allowed to climb up on a tree or ride on an animal in order to get the shofar. Mara asks, once we mention hashtag the rabbanon amrit loy, now you already said in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to do things the rabbanon daraisa nivoya. Would it need to be said that you're not allowed to do things daraisa? Now, what the rabbanon and daraisa are we talking about? Rashi says that we're talking about, for example, going out of the tchum and then digging up the rubble, the first two examples in the Mishnah, which those things, there's no possibility on the face of it that you're going to come to doing a malacha d'oraisa from doing those, and yet we're saying that. How much more so, Rashi says, the riding on an animal is more reason to be called d'oraisa, because after all, that and climbing up a tree, the problem is, those are gzeiros d'rabbanan, because you might come to do an isur d'oraisa. However, Rashi doesn't really like that, because the fact is, it's a little hard to call riding on an animal and climbing a tree d'oraisa, because they're things that can lead to something d'oraisa. So Rashi actually says, we shouldn't be good at this. Anyway, but we have the gear set in front of us. So the Gemara says, Zuva in Tzarech Lema Zukatani. Okay, what it is the Mishnah is telling us one of these things, this, and needless to say this. So it's mentioning the things that are less usur, and all the more so the things that are more usur that you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. Then we said the ein choschin osa ben medavah shom shom shavuos or ben medavah shom shom loises. You're not allowed, we said, to cut the shofar with something that's only also derabbanon, because it would be a keli that's not usually used for this purpose, or something that would be also by a loises because it's a keli that's normally used for the purpose. So the Gemara gives examples. Mishom shavuos magla, an example of a keli that would be mishom shavuos is a magla, a sickle. Because a sickle is not something that you normally use for cutting. You use it for cutting grain. You don't usually use it for cutting anything else. So therefore, if you use it to cut the shofar on Yom Tov, that would only be an isur d'rabbanan. Loisa says sakina, and something that would be also by a loisa says an actual knife, a regular knife, which is the usual way of doing it. On the side of here, it brings that the Rif and the Rosh have a girsa the other way around, that a knife would be an isur shavuos. A mago would be an isur loises, apparently, because they learn that a mago, for at least when it comes to cutting the shofar, but perhaps we're talking about cutting the shofar off the head of the animal, then for that, I guess they learn that a mago would be the more usual thing to use. Whatever the case, the point is you're not allowed to use either one of them on Rosh Hashanah. Again, the question is, why are we listing them in that order? Shavuos and then loisese. Again, hashtem shavuos amrit loy loisese mivoya. If you're already saying you can't use something that's also as a shavuos, how much more so is something that's also as a loisese? And again, the answer is, like the previous part of the Mishnah, zuva ein tzarech lema zukatani. Fine, the Mishnah is telling us one of these things, this and needless to say this. Usually, by the way, the Mishnah doesn't do that. Usually the Gemara prefers to say that the Mishnah is loy zu af zu. Not only this one, which is the lesser chiddush, even this one, which is the greater chiddush. But occasionally the Gemara, we don't have a choice, and we have to say that it's like this, that it's this, and needless to say this. Okay? And then we said, avolim yotza litin l'sechim mayim ayayin yitin. We said, if you want to, because the sound is not coming out clearly, you want to clean out the shofar with water or wine, yitin, and you're allowed to do that on yotzer. So the implication, the Gemara says, is mayim ayayin ein. So you're allowed to use water, you're allowed to use wine. Mei raglayim loy. Apparently, though, the Mishnah, by saying only mayim ayayin, is implying that you're not allowed to use mei raglayim, not allowed to use urine. So masnisin mani, who is our Mishnah like? Abasholi would be according to Abashol. The Tanya Abasholim, mayim ayayin mutter kedei l'tzachtzei. You're allowed to use water or wine to clean it out. Mei raglayim osim if now covered, but you're never allowed to use urine because of the covered, because not the covered dick for the mitzvah. And that, in fact, is how it is in Shulchan Aruch. And this means even on weekdays. So even so the mayim ayayin we're talking about, you can put in even on Yom Tov. But the mei raglayim, even before Yom Tov, you can't use that because the bezoyin to the mitzvah. For the same reason as we have in Pitcher Bakhtardus, that, v'haloi meiraglayim yachid lo, elashayim machnis meiraglayim amitgosh mipnei akavod. Mind you, by the way, you have Mephoshev over there who explained that meiraglayim over there doesn't mean urine at all. It means water from a spring called raglayim, and the reason why it's also is because it has the same name as meiraglayim, and therefore it's a bizoyim. Here we're definitely talking about actual meiraglayim, actual urine, which it could be. It's used as a cleaning agent, they used to in those times, but to use it on the shofar would be a bizoyim. We said in the Mishnah, we said we don't prevent children from blowing shofar. The pashtus we're talking about on Yom Tov. The Gemara says, okay, but the implication is that women, if women want to blow shofar, we should prevent them because they're not chayev and they're potter from the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that's a shazman gromahu. Rashi actually says an odd line over here. He says, if they shofar, they would be over on Baal Tosif. Now, the question is, Marashah says, what Baal Tosif? Baal Tosif is where we talked about a few days ago. When you're adding something to the mitzvah, you add an extra tzitzah to the tzitzis, you add an extra parasha to tefillin, etc., that's Baal Tosif. Where we talk about over there, is it Baal Tosif to do a mitzvah on an extra day or not? But lechora for a person to do a mitzvah when they're not chayvin, it is not baltosif. So before Rashi explained that, fine, maybe Rashi doesn't mean that it's actual baltosif; it just looks like baltosif. But anyway, so the implication of the Mishnah seems to be that if women want to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we shouldn't allow them to. But the Gemara says, "V'altanya ein ma'akvin loyas and noshim v'loyas etidokus v'lekoya v'yamdim." We live in a bride, so that you don't prevent women or children from blowing shofar on Yom Tov. Amar Abaya, loy kasha harab Yehuda harab Yosef harab Shimon. It depends whether the Mishnah versus the Braisa are two different opinions. You have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and you have the opinion of Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon. In a different context, as far as a mitzvah that women are pasuk from. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa that when the pasuk says Dabar al Bnei Yisrael, the pasuk says, speak to Bnei Yisrael and tell them about the dinim of Korbanos. And the first thing that it says over there is, v'samach yodoy al rosh ha'ola, that you do smicha on the korban. So we learn from that, Bnei Yisrael somchin vein, Bnei Yisrael somchis divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says that means that only men, only Bnei Yisrael, lean their hands on the animal, women do not. Now, of course, there's many mitzvahs that are introduced as Dabel Bnei Yisrael, but over here, there's a reason. There would be a reason, whatever the reason is, that the Chachamim knew the darshan over here that Bnei Yisrael means only the men. Maybe because it's Daba Bnei Yisrael, but Amarta Aleihem. Whatever the case, the point is that so Bnei, so only men have to do smicha, women don't. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Amim, Noshim, Semchus, Rishus. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon say that, fine, we agree women are potter. However, if they want to do smicha, then they're allowed to. So we see that Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon are fine with women doing at least certain mitzvahs that they're not chayav in. So by the same token, they would be fine with women blowing the shofar or hearing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, even though it's a mitzvah tesa shad man grama, whereas Rabbi Yehuda would say no. So Rabbi Yehuda would be the Tana of our Mishnah who's saying that we don't prevent children, which fine. The reason is because children are not yet chayav in mitzvahs at all. So there it's only a matter of chinuch. And fine, we need to be mechanech them, so therefore we can allow them to blow shofar. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, women not, because again, women are potter. Here you have the very, very long discussion that you can see over here, a very long Tosfos, on the question, mostly on the question of, so if we're saying, according to Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon, that women are allowed to blow shofar and to hear shofar on Yom Tov, and most of the Rishonim do paskin, like Rabbi Tosfos starts by saying, that even though we have the Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, still we have a concept called Rabbi Yosi Nimukoi Imoi. Whenever Rabbi Yosi says a halacha, he always has a good reason for it, and generally speaking, therefore, the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi over other Tanoim. So that would mean that women are allowed to blow shofar or hear shofar if they want. Now comes the question, which Tosfos discusses at some length, are they allowed to make a bracha on it? They're potter. How can they say, Asheka Lishonim and Mitzvah Yisrael Tzivanu? Nevertheless, Tosfos brings proofs from various other places that women are allowed to make brachas on such mitzvahs, even though they're not chayav. Now, you have the Rambam in particular disagrees with that. The Rambam says that no, anybody who is potter from a mitzvah is not allowed to make a bracha on it. That would be a bracha levatala. So as we talked about the other day, you have Ada Yemazeh, you have a difference in Minhagim in that regard, where Ashkenazi women will make brachas on such things, for example, on the Tilas Lulav, and Saudi women won't, and therefore this is Negea if you're going and doing Mitzvah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, when to say the bracha and when not. Tosfos also points out at the end, by the way, that children, you can definitely make a bracha, because eventually they're going to be of the age when they're chayev, and so right now you need to be chinuch, you have to do chinuch, and at least with women you can ask the question, should they in fact make the bracha? If not, are they going to be over on lois tisa? Is it a bracha levatala? Children are not chayev in mitzvahs anyhow, so if they make a bracha, even if we would say that it's a bracha levatala, it doesn't matter because they're children. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Avam is asking Bahem Adshi Yomadu. We said we can work together with the children, we can practice together with the children until they learn how to blow shofar. Amar Rav Elazar, afilu b'Shabbos. So Rav Elazar says that means even on Shabbos you'd be allowed to do that. Tanya Nami Hochid, he's asking the hen Adshi Yomadu, afilu b'Shabbos. The Ein Ma'afin Atinokis with the Koya b'Shabbos. Now, we do not prevent children from blowing shofar on Shabbos. The Ein Sarach Loim and the Yom Tov, needless to say, we don't prevent them on Yom Tov. The Gemara says, Hogufa Kasha. You seem to have a contradiction in the Braisa. Amrit is asking the hen Adshi Yomadu afilu b'Shabbos. You're saying you help them to learn how to blow shofar even on Shabbos. Am lahatchila amin and tiku, which means that even lahatchila, we say to them, go ahead and blow shofar because you're doing it for chinuch. V'hadotana ein ma'akin. Then we're saying we don't prevent them, implying a kubahu delay ma'akin. So we don't prevent them from blowing shofar. Halahatchila lo yamin and tiku, implying that we don't tell them to begin with to blow. But if they blow on their own, then we don't stop them. So which is it? Do we tell them, go ahead, here's the shofar, go ahead and blow? Or do we just, if they start blowing, then we leave them be? And the answer is, like Kasha, can the cotton shigia lachinuch, can the cotton shigia lachinuch? It depends. What age is the kid? Is the kid old enough for chinuch? Then misaskin the hen. Then for sure ein ma'akmin. Then even misaskin imahen. We work with them. We tell them how long a tkia should be, how long a trua should be, etc. And they do that. Whereas if the cotton is lo yigia lachinuch, then there's no sense in he's not of the age of chinuch yet anyway. He's just really playing around with the shofar. So fine, we're not going to actually be misasik with them. but we won't prevent him, because after all, he's a kid and he's below the age of chinuch, and he's not chayiv. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim learn the other way around. that, among other things, Tosfos asks, what do you mean? On Shabbos, there's no mitzvah to blow shofar, so what do you mean that we can mechanech a kid that he deal a chinuch? How can we mechanech him on Shabbos if Shabbos is not a day to blow shofar? So Tosfos for that and some other reasons explains the other way around. First of all, Tosfos brings a different girsa. Tosfos brings a different girsa, first of all, in the Gemara, that we're allowed to ad sheyilmadu, means that filo b'Shabbos, we're allowed to work with them until they learn, even on Shabbos, and we don't prevent them from blowing on Yom Tov, which would imply that on Shabbos we do, and then so we're making the distinction between a child that reached the age of chinuch and the age that not. So Tosfos learns the other way around, anyway. They say that if the child is of the age of chinuch, then we do tell him, you know what, today is Shabbos, you don't belong shofar. But if it's, or even on Yom Tov, if he's blowing unnecessarily. But if it's a child that hasn't even reached the age of chinuch, then Tosfos learns, let him go ahead and do whatever he wants, because he's anyway below the age of chinuch, and so anyway, you don't really have a chiyuv to be mechanech. The Ran does mention, though, that all of this that we're talking about, that you would be able to work with them on Shabbos. So first of all, okay, so you have the different opinions, what age kid we're talking about, whether, which is the one that we don't prevent and which is the one that we actually work with them. But in any case, the Ran brings that all of this only applied back in the time when they blew shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shachal Lias Shabbos. As we learned earlier in the Perek, there was only, you only did that in front of a Beis Din Smuchim. Now, he said that the Ran says the Rif brings this halacha, which means that on the face of it, the Rif holds it, it applies nowadays as well. However, the Rif could be going on the Shitasai, that he says that you can blow in front of any Beis Din. As we talked about the other day, the Rif used to blow shofar in his Beis Din on Rosh Hashanah Shachal Lias B'Shabbos. But since the halacha is, since the accepted halacha is, that it has to be a Beis Din Smuchin, and we don't have that nowadays, then therefore the result is, the Ran says, there wouldn't be a din that you're allowed to have children blow shofar on Shabbos. And that, in fact, is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. The last posik who seems to bring this halacha at all is the Tur. The Shulchan Aruch, in fact, if you look over here in Ein Mishpat Ne'er Mitzvah, in Ois Dalad, so usually he refers to the Rambam, the Smag, and the Tur v'Shulchan Aruch. Here, conspicuously, he only mentions Tur or Rechayim and not the Shulchan Aruch, because in Shulchan Aruch, in fact, it says that you can't allow the kid to blow on Shabbos, because he, like the Ran says, that applies only when we blow shofar on Shabbos, and nowadays we don't. So the result is that a kid can't blow shofar on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, fine. On Yom Tov, fine. The kid's not chayev, but as a matter of chinuch, he can be allowed to blow. Other than that, though, we say that we're not supposed to blow extra blasts on Yom Tov for no reason. Ultimately, blowing shofar should be awesome. And Rabbanan, and the only reason we allow it is because the Torah says we have to do it, but not to blow unnecessarily. Okay. We said in the mission of Amis Asif Lo Yotza, we said that somebody who is practicing shofar is not Yotza. The Gemara says, Hotekei Lashir Yotza. Okay, so, but the implication is that if somebody is blowing in order to play music, which we talked about previously on Daf Chofes, or Rashi brought a different girsa over there, not Lashir, but Lashed, the person is blowing shofar in order to scare away a shed, Yotza. It sounds like the Mishnah is implying he's Yotza, because it's saying only if he's practicing. But over there, he's not practicing. He's doing it for a purpose. It's just not the purpose of the mitzvah. Lema Messiah Leila Rava. Well, does that mean that our Mishnah supports what Rava says? Da'amar Rava HaTekeh L'Shir Yotza. Rava says exactly that. That if a person, we said there on the Daf Chofes, that if a person, according to Rava, if a person blew shofar in order to play, as playing music or to scare away a shed, then he's Yotza. Not necessarily. Dumer Tekeh L'Shir Nami Misasik Tardilei. You could say that when our Mishnah uses the word misasik, also means somebody who's doing it for musical purposes or for other purposes that are not the mitzvah. So in other words, the Gemara had assumed that misasik means he wasn't even intending to do a tkiyah at all. He was just, like we said the other day, manbach nebuchi. He was just making short sounds which ended up being long enough to be shofar sounds. Or he was just blowing into the shofar and accidentally a sound came out. And now we're saying that, no, Tekel Ashir might also be called Misasif, and you wouldn't be Yod. So again, we talked about the other day, the Machlokas Rishonim, is the Halacha like Rava, is the Halacha like Rav Zera, that you do need Kavana, that the accepted Halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that you do need Kavana, and therefore Tekel Ashir is not Yod. With that said, by the way, worth mentioning a cute story they tell about a fellow in Spain during the time of the Inquisition, where he really wanted to be able to hear shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Well, what's he going to do? If he blows it, it's going to be loud enough. They're going to hear, and he's going to get himself in trouble. So he arranged on Rosh Hashanah. The story goes that he arranged on Rosh Hashanah a concert with different kinds of musical instruments from around the world, and among the instruments was a shofar. And he has in the middle over there. They're blowing the proper sequence of pias and truas in the middle of the performance. So they have all the other musical instruments in between. That doesn't matter. You're still yotze anyway. As long as you don't hear sound in the middle that were supposed to be part of the shofar sound. We'll talk about that more tomorrow, Beth Hashem. So he ended up being Yotze with this concert of his. But here we're talking about there, of course, he told them ahead of time that they're blowing shofar for the sake of the mitzvah and for themselves and him to be Yotze, as we're going to discuss now in the Gemara. What we would say, Tekel Ashir, is where he doesn't have that intention, where he's just doing it in order to play music and not for the mitzvah at all. We said in the Mishnah about Shemeya Minam Asif Lo Yotze, that if a person hears shofar from a misasik, he's also not yotze. So the Gemara says, Avo, okay, but the implication is, Hashemeya min ha-mashmir la'atzmai. So if a person hears shofar from somebody who's blowing only for himself, he's not having somebody else in mind, he's just blowing for himself to be yotze mitzvah. The implication is, since you heard from him, my, what are we saying? Yotze? He's yotze. Lema tevit tiyufte de Rav Zera. Well, would that mean that our Mishnah contradicts Rav Zera? We had also in that sugya about mitzvahs tzrichas kavana that Rav Zera told his shamash, have kavana and blow shofar for me. In other words, have kavana not just for yourself to be yotze the mitzvah. It means have kavana to be moitzi me. So we see that the person blowing shofar actually has to have kavana to be moitzi the other person. Our Mishnah seems to be implying that not, because it seems to be implying that only the reason you're not yotze is because he was misasif. But as long as he's intending to blow shofar and be yotze the mitzvah, then you're automatically yotze as well. The Gemara says not necessarily. Dilma, I did tona reishim misasif, tona sefer nami misasif. You could just say, since the Mishnah started by mentioning misasif, then it finished off by mentioning misasik, that if you heard from a misasik, you're not yotze. But not necessarily is the Mishnah implying that if the guy was not misasik, and in fact he is intending to blow shofar, but only for himself, not to be motzi you, that you should be yotze, not necessarily. So our Mishnah could still fit with Rav Zera's opinion. As we said, many of the poskim do paskim like Rav Zera, and that's how it is. When you're hearing shofar from somebody, they have to have in mind to be motzi you. With that said, we said that, for example, the Baal Tekeya in Shul doesn't have to have every person individually in mind. He has in mind generically that anybody who hears his shofar blowing is going to be yotze. And that way, not only the people in the Shul, even people outside the Shul can be yotze as long as they hear it clearly. And by the same token, you can do, of course, you know, when you're going on mitzvah shofar or whatever, have in mind that anybody who hears it will be yotze, and that way they can be yotze. The Mishnah says, last Mishnah of the Masechta, Seder Tkiyas, the order of the Tkiyas, is Sholosh, Shol Sholosh, Sholosh. Three groups of three sounds each, meaning three groups of Tkiyah, Trua, Tkiyah. Now, of course, nowadays we have Shvarim and Trua as well. We'll talk about that. We're going to start talking about that in the Gemara over here, and we're going to continue more about that tomorrow. That's the Shem. But the minimum is the nine sounds. What's the length of them? Shir tkiya kisholosh truas. The length of a tkiya is a minimum of three truas, and shir trua kisholosh yevavas. The minimum shir of a trua is the length of three yevavas. Now Rashi explains yevavas are just kolos ba'alma kolshu, just like short sounds, like the short sounds of a trua. Each of those, Rashi says, is called a yevava. So a trua, according to Rashi, needs to be only three of those, and a tkiya needs to be only the length of the trua. Now that's according to Rashi. Tosfos has a long discussion about that, where Tosfos brings up over here actually several different practical dinim that are negeya to Tkiyas Shofar. So a Baal Tekeya has to be familiar. A Baal Tekeya has to be familiar with these dinim to know to not make the sounds too short or too long. So first of all, Tosfos says that Yevavos over here doesn't necessarily mean such short sounds. A Yevava can be what's called a Yevava can be three of, can be the length of three of those. It would be so Yevava would be Tosfos says Shalosh Koches Chokolchu. A Yevava would be three of those. So therefore, so it means, so we're saying the Trua has to be at least three of those. Therefore, that comes out nine. And then a Tkia would have to be at least the length of that. Nowadays that we have, Tosfos mentioned earlier, that we have to have Shvarim and Trua, because of the status of, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara, of what exactly is the Trua that the Torah is talking about. Then the result is, by the Tkias, before Shvarim Trua, you have to make those Tkias longer, because they have to be at least the length of the Shvarim and the Trua together. And of course, the Shvarim themselves, you would have rules. The Shvarim can't be too short, because then they're going to be Truas, and they can't be too long, because then they're going to be Tkias. So you have all kinds of details on that. So because you have the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos about what we mean by the length of a Trua and what we mean by the length of a Tkia, plus we're going to see also we have different other opinions of Rishonim as well. So for example, it says in Shulchan Aruch, the length of the Tkia before the Shvarim Trua should be at least 18 Trumitin. Trumitin is the same as the koiches that Rashi mentioned, the little short things that make up the Trua. So the key over there, before and after that, has to be at least 18 trumitin long in order that's the minimum length of the shvarim plus the trua. Because the shvarim altogether have to be, following Tosfos Hashita, 9 koichas. The trua has to also be at least 9. So 9 plus 9 is 18. And the tkiyas, at least the length of those combined together. Whereas the tkiyas of tashat and tarat can be shorter because the total length of the shvarim and the total length of the trua is only 9 each. Tosfos also mentions in this connection that there's no problem making the tkia longer. The tkia has a minimum length, but there's no maximum length to it, so you can make it as long as you want, and you don't have a problem. And also, Tosfos mentions that you could in principle do as many shvarim as you want. However, not everyone agrees to that, and Lamaisa, the minhag is not to do that. The minhag is everybody does 3 shvarim and no more. Or actually, minhag chabad is we do 3.5 shvarim. They do 3 shvarim and then like a half a shever before they begin the truas. So fine, but not more than that. The minhag is, even though in theory you could do 4 or 5 or whatever, however many shvarim, nevertheless, the minhag is not to do that. Then Tosfos also talks about, by the way, we're going to say in the Mishnah that the Tkias we're talking about, now we have, of course, we have Tkias Miyushav, there's the Tkias before Mitzvah, which really those are not the essential Mitzvah. We said before, we learned before on Dr. Zion that those are primarily only La'arav as a Sutton, to confuse Sutton. The real Mitzvah of doing the Tkias is in the middle of Shemana Esrei. You have the different Minhagim, whether to do it only in Chazorah Sashat, or also as we do, also in Shtilah Shemana Esrei. You also have, now Tosfos also discusses the question, so which one, the fact is we do have the ones before davening, before Musaf, and we do make the bracha on them, so we're yotze the mitzvah of shofar with those. So now, during Chazorah Sashat, do we need to do all the sounds? And in fact, Tosfos discusses that in theory, yes, in theory you should do tashrat, after each one of the brachas. You don't necessarily need to, Tosfos says, you could, and then there were different minhagim in the veldt. For example, in Rav Eder Tam's time, there was a minhag that they did tashrat after Malchus, tashrat after Zechronis, and tarat after Shofros. And Rav Eder Tam wonders why, doesn't make sense, because after all, we're going to say that we have a suffix, which is the right one. So what are you only doing? So each one, you're only doing one of them. You might not be yotze by the other two then. So therefore, Rabbi Tam said you should say tashrat, you should do tashrat by all three of them, because that way at least you have all the sounds. Okay, you have maybe a sound in the middle that you shouldn't have, because you have, let's say, by tashrat, you have, let's say, if what the Torah calls trua is really what we call shvarim, then what you have is you have a tshuva in there that's extra. But fine, at least the fact is you have a tkiya, a shvarim, and a tkiya. And the fact is you were already yotze with what you heard before Musa. With that said, again, you have different minhagim on it, and so in Shulchan Aruch it brings all these various minhagim, and it says the best way to do it is indeed to blow tashrat, tashat, tarat after each one of them, and that is how we do it. In the Veldt, so you have, there's a widespread minhag in the Veldt to blow 100, to blow 100, which we're going to talk about soon, in connection with Sisera's mother. So our minhag is then we have 30 before Musa, 30 during Shtilah Shmoneh Esrei, 10 after each of the Barachas, 30 in Chazaras HaShach, and then 10 in the Kaddish afterwards. The Veldt instead, the many, many Kehillos in the Veldt, where they don't do during Shtilah Shmoneh Esrei, instead, they do 10, 30 before Musaf, 30 during Chazaras HaShach, and 40 after Chazaras HaShach, during the Kaddish. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Taka v'rishoyna, if the person at the beginning of the set, so he has, let's say, he's gonna blow tkiya tshuva tkiya. So he blows the first tkiya normally. And then the second tkiya, he extends twice as long, with the intention, we talked about this a few times in the Gemara the other day, that with the intention that it should count as the last tkiya of the first set and the first tkiya of the second set. So he intends that it should be the last of the first tarat and the second of the second tarat, and then the first of the second tarat. Note, in the yada el achas, it counts only as one tkiya, because the fact of the matter is that you can't divide a tkiya in two, and therefore it only counts as the end of the first set. You still have to blow another tkiya for the beginning of the second set of tarat. There is a Yerushalmi that says, and Rabbi Yitzchok Ibn Geyus, a chaver of the Rif, learns according to this Yerushalmi that in fact you wouldn't even be yotze that one at all. It wouldn't even count as the end of the first one because you had this intention to make it also the beginning of the second one. So therefore he learns in the yada el achas, all you have is the valid tkiya at the beginning of the set, and then you're going to have to continue with the then you're going to need another tkiya to complete this set because or even you're going to have to start the set all over again because you blew something that you weren't so you blew a sound of a shofar which you thought was something to be yotze with, and in fact you're not. Okay, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is like the first opinion, so you are yotze the first one, but nevertheless, better. It does mention it's good to be choshish for the second opinion, and blow over again. Next, the Mishnah continues. Misha beirach v'achakach nismana lo shofar. If somebody, now like this, we said the shofar blowing is supposed to be done during Shmoneh Esrei, but if a person davened Shmoneh Esrei and then he got a hold of a shofar, so let's say he didn't have a shofar during Musaf, he only gets it afterwards, fine, takeo, merev takeo, shalosh pamim, he still does the tkiya through a tkiya three times at that point. He still has to do the same number of tkiyas, just instead of doing them on the brachas, he's doing them outside of the brachas. Mishnah finishes off. Kishem sheshliach tzibur chayev, just as the shliach tzibur is chayev to daven these brachas, kach kol yochid v'yochid chayev, so is every yochid chayev to daven the brachas. Rav Gamliel, a shliach tzibur moitzis rav nidei chivosin. Rav Shem Gamliel says the chazan is moitzi everybody, and they don't have to daven, and they don't have to daven the nine brachas. They can be yotze with his, which we'll talk about that point. We'll talk about that point in the Gemara at the bottom of Lamed Dalet Amud Beis and the top of Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. We'll be talking about that. That's Hashem. Okay. So the Gemara asks, we said in the Mishnah that Shir Tkiya is Kesholosh Truas, but Baltanya Bilonin Abrais is Shir Tkiya Ketruah. The length of a Tkiya is like the length of a Truah. So Amud Abaya, so Abaya says not really a Machlokes. Tana di dan kachoshev tkiya to kula bavi is truest to kula bavi. The Tana of our Mishnah is saying he's counting all the tkiyas and all the truest. So in other words, he's saying if you consider in aggregate the length of all the three of all the nine truest, all the three truest rather, you have three times tarat you need to hear, three times tkiya truest tkiya. So you have, that means you have three truest. So if you count all of the truas together, then we're saying if you count all the tkiyas together and all the truas together, then it comes out that you're saying that the tkiyas equal the truas in length. Tana Bara, Kahoshim, Chad Bava, Batuloi, where the Tana of the Braisa is only thinking of one Trua and one Tkia. But in other words, they're expressing the same thing. They're expressing the same thing in different words. The Tana of the Mishnah is saying that three Tkias equal three Truas, and the Tana of the Braisa is saying that one Tkia equals one Trua, which amounts to the same thing. The Rambam actually has a different understanding of Or Gemara. He learns that, in fact, what our Mishnah is saying is that the six Tkias equal the length of the three Truas. So in other words, the Rambam says, therefore, the length of a Tkia is half of a Trua, which the Ran asks on that in that case. I mean, a Trua, we're saying, is very short. According to Rashi, a Trua is only three Koiches, only tit-tit-tit. So does that mean a Tkia is only half of that? It doesn't really make sense. And therefore, then, in fact, the Raivet disagrees with that, and other Rishonim disagree with that. So Lamaisa, we said before, you have the two different Shittis before about how long a Trua has to be, whether it's enough for it to be three Koiches, or three Trumitin, as they call them in Shulchan Aruch, or do you need nine of them? Because of that, now again, you also have, you have the other opinion that says you need at least nine of them, and that the Shvarim are longer in consequence. The point is, though, again, the Shvarim can't be too long, so they're not Tkiyas. The Tkiyas have to be a certain minimum length themselves, and you can't mix and match. You can't have, for example, if you had a Tkiya that was too short, or a Shvarim that was too long, then you have a problem, because you can't have, let's say, for example, that your Shvarim is going to be long, is going to be longer according to the one opinion, and the Tkiya is going to be shorter according to the other opinion, because then you can't mix and match like that. Then it contradicts each other, and you're not going to be yotze that way. We said Shir Trua Kegimu Yevavos. We said the length of a Trua is the equivalent of three Yevavos, where again, according to Rashi, Yevavos just means the short sounds that make up a Trua, so you'll need three of those, according to Rashi. And according to the Rivam in Tosfos, it means that Yevavos is three of those, and therefore it means the Trua has to be at least nine. So the Gemara says, V'hatanya Shir Trua Kishlosha Shvarim. Don't we learn in a Braisa that the length of a Trua is like three Shvarim, and Shvarim are longer than Yevavos? Well, there's no question, even if we say that in the previous part, the Tana of the Mishnah and of the Braisa were not arguing, they were just expressing the same thing in different ways, here there's no question the Mishnah and the Braisa are arguing. The argument is, what is a Trua? The Pasuk says it should be a day of Trua for you. What is Trua? Targum Unkelus translates it, it should be a day of Yevava for you. So what is Yevava? Uchtiv b'imei de Sisra, by Sisra's mother. You have at the end of Devorah's Shira over there, that Torah of Parshas B'Shalach, she tells about how Sisra is all fighting against the Jewish people, and his mother is very worried, and ba'adacha lo nishkefa, but yadiv ein Sisra. Sisra's mother is looking out the window, and that yadiv, which means crying. So she was crying, worried about what's happening with her son, and it goes on to say her maids and her noblewoman over there tell her that for sure he's winning and defeating the Jewish people and doing all kinds of horrible things to them and so on and so forth. And of course we know what happened is he got killed by Yarev. Anyway, so we see that the word Vakiyabiv means to cry, therefore Yom Yevava, Yehi Lachain, means it should be a day of crying. So what kind of crying? Mar Sava Genuchi Danach Umar Sava Yalula Yalev. So you have then the opinion the Braisa that mentions Shvarim holds that Yevava means the kind of like moans, like when a person is moaning and then which is longer sounds, that's the definition of a Trua. So that's what we call Shvarim. Umar Sava, Yalula Yalo, and then the Tana, meanwhile, holds that Yevava means short sounds, like when a person is sobbing and then making short sounds one after the other, then therefore that's what it is. So you have that machlokas, and you have, and we're going to talk about more in the Gemara tomorrow, Bez Hashem, about the three possibilities. There's also the possibility that it might be both, which is why we have Shvarim and Trua. An interesting point, by the way, is it's not just from the story of the mother of Sisra, it's not just that we learn the word Vatiyabiv, and therefore we learn what Yom Yevava Yehei Lachayim means. We actually learn, you have the minag in most of the world to hear 100 sounds of the shofar, and the Aruch actually brings in this connection that Sisra's mother cried 100 sobs or 100 cries over Sisra, over that she's worried what's happening to Sisra. So it's an interesting thing. It's a fascinating thing then that we learn how many kolos to blow on Rosh Hashanah from the mother of Sisera, such a Rishas, where she's calmed by the fact that that Sisera is probably harassing and raping and whatever the Jewish women. So in fact, there is in Sefer HaTzedah, it brings an interesting idea in that's the point. In other words, we're asking Hashem at the sound of the shofar that Hashem should have rachmanos on us and then counteract all the achzorius in the world, with the exception of, fine, you have a mother who is crying over her child, even if the mother and the child are rishoyim, like Sisera and his mother, nevertheless still we're saying that kind of cry Hashem shouldn't ignore, and therefore we structure our shofar blowing around that kind of cry. There's also a verse from Rabbi Yosef Shalom al-Yashiv, who says, when you think of it, why is she crying anyway? Sisera has all of the advantages. He has 900 iron chariots. He has a huge army. Against him is an army of 10,000 Jews. What's she so worried about anyway? It's a sure thing he's going to win. And yet she's crying because she doesn't know it's a sure thing. So it's a message for us. He says that even on Rosh Hashanah, even we think we have all the schosim in the world, it's a sure thing. Nevertheless, we should never consider that it is. We always have to depend on the Eivish Tzitz Rachmanis. So we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, with learning how we know that we said that you have to have Tkiyah, Truah, Tkiyah three times. We're going to talk about the Limud, how we know that, and then we're going to continue talking about what the definition of a Truah is and what are the different things we do in that regard.